Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. It's a great day in the life of the church. There is no greater day, maybe other than Christmas or Easter, than Baptism Sunday. And while we don't currently in this service have anybody who's pre-signed up, I'm going to give you that chance at the end of the service for baptism today. We do in the next service have people who've already signed up. So maybe you'd get excited enough in this service that you would come to the next service and celebrate with them. But I'm going to give you a shot to do that in just a few minutes. Before I get to the celebration part, though, I don't want to be the kind of pastor or leader who is ignorant of the things that are going on in our world. And this was a troubled week in our world. Just a few weeks ago, I stood up here and I asked people that were students or anybody connected in any role to the school systems to stand, whether it was private or public, and we had prayer for them. And this week we watched in our world how broken it is yet again, right? So I just want to pause this morning. I think it'd be irresponsible for me to not offer prayer for these people who are hurting in another state. But we just see this over and over again, and it's like this day after day, we just pass, sort of gloss over it. I don't want to gloss over it. There are real people who are hurting. It's sad. And we're not surprised by this, and yet I believe God's heart is broken over it. And I just want us to pause before we get to the celebration part, and let's all collectively pray. We don't even know these folks, but I believe we can identify with their pain. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, we just pause for people that we don't know. But we do know school teachers, and we do know students, and we've seen this play out time and time again. And while we don't understand it, and it seems like evil is having its way in our country, you are still sovereign, and you are still good, and you are still in control. And so we acknowledge that, Lord. And I don't understand these things. Your ways are higher than my ways. But I pray, Lord, today that you would minister and speak, and you would bring beauty from ashes in Appalachia, Georgia. And you would minister in ways and put people around those who are hurting that would be your hands and your feet to help people. Today, your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaks and moves and hits the mark when we don't even understand what to pray. We would like this morning to intercede, and we lack the words. Holy Spirit, you hit the mark. You move and heal in the places that only you can do, and we're going to trust you with it. In your name I pray. Amen. Today is Baptism Sunday, and you may be sitting here and saying, yeah, okay, we see you got the shirt on, that's nice. Why would you get excited about this? Listen, I was at a conference last year, and a friend of mine said to me, he was a pastor. He said, Kevin, if your church is not going to baptize people, I'm not sure you should call yourself a church. I was like, wow. He wasn't saying that to be mean. He was just saying that to challenge. And it isn't necessarily about counting converts. We do want to count converts, but we want to make disciples. And part of making disciples is that when someone gets saved, they should get baptized. Now, in order to get you a little excited about this, I want to show you a gentleman who got really excited about being baptized. Watch this.
Thank you.
You think he's still incarcerated? Maybe physically, but that man's found some freedom. That's exciting, right? You could clap for that this morning. I mean, I don't even know that guy, but that gets me excited. A prisoner physically, but not spiritually. So what is baptism? I'm not going to try to insult your intelligence, but I do think it's important that we go over some of these things just as a reminder for all of us. Like, why would the preacher get excited about this? I think there's more than just me who would get excited. Baptism, it comes from the Greek word baptizo, which does mean to immerse or dunk, but it means more than that. It actually, in the original, meant that they would take a cloth and they would put it in something and let it just get totally absorbed and saturated. They do this with cucumbers that become what? Pickles. Now, we're not going to hold anybody in the water that long today. But some people, you might think we probably should hold them a little longer. But that's what it is. It's one of two sacraments that our faith tradition celebrates. Now, there are other faith traditions that celebrate more than two sacraments. I would never stand in front of you and say, we're right and you're wrong. But you should know, what is the Church of the Nazarene believe? We believe in two sacraments. We believe in communion. Jesus participated in it. We believe in baptism. Jesus participated in it. So those are the two that we celebrate. This is a huge, important thing today in the life of the church. I have a wedding ring on, and I talked to you in the first week about how I lose them from time to time, and so my wife just buys them in packets. But this is a symbol, an outward symbol of a covenant and a commitment I've made. It's not the same as baptism, but today there will be people who will get in that tank, and they will outwardly display and say, we're going public with this. We're going public with something that's happened inside of our hearts, inside of our lives. It's this death to life. It's this buried in the water, raised to life experience. Does it make sense? This water, by the way, over here doesn't save anybody. This isn't from the Jordan River. We probably wish it could be. This is just regular old Rockingham County, Harrisonburg City. I don't know what y'all got right here, but this, it's clean. It is warm, by the way, too. So the people that get in it today, they won't get shocked to the core. Baptism does not forgive you. Baptism does not save you. You are saved by grace through faith. That's how you are saved. Baptism is just the natural thing that you do. Once you're saved, you should get baptized. Well, how long should you wait? You shouldn't wait. You should get saved and you should get baptized. There might be some that would disagree with me on that. Listen to what our church, we have 16 articles of faith, would say. Baptism may be administered by sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, according to the choice of the applicant. There was an ancient document. This document was written right after the New Testament, and it was called the Didache. It was the teaching of the 12 apostles. And it said in that document, and it's going to happen in the next service, there may be people who you can't completely submerge and immerse. So shall we deny them the right to be baptized? We should not. We're going to have a young man in the next service in a wheelchair that's going to get baptized. And we're going to do it by sprinkling and pouring. Does it diminish what he's doing? Absolutely not. It's just one more way that we would say in our church tradition that you may be baptized. It's beautiful. Why should you be baptized? Because Jesus commanded it. And because Jesus himself did it. That's why. If you call yourself a Christian, this is what should happen. Listen, and I'll let you read the words behind me. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my boy. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Do you get it? Jesus is now about 30 years of age. He's been on the planet for a while. But right here in this moment with John baptizing him, all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit meet. And this is the start of Jesus' ministry right here. He wants to go public with his ministry, and the way that he does it is, I'm going to get baptized right here by John. It's amazing. Who should get baptized? Anyone who gets saved. Anyone who gets saved, you ask for the forgiveness of sins, you ask for Christ to come into your heart, and then you get baptized. I wonder, last week we talked about Nicodemus, and Jesus looks at Nicodemus, this ruler, and he says, you must be born again. And I wonder when it happened for Nicodemus. I think it did happen based on the fact that he shows up at the very end. Now, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine so you can take a break from all my yelling and excitement. I'll come back to that in a second. This is Scott Miller. You all know him as the drummer. You could give Scott a warm welcome. You got the mic on.
Yes,
you're
I
good.
Do.
Scott and I had a conversation this week because Scott was baptized at a very early age. Before Scott speaks, I want to make this clear. If you've been baptized at any age, I'm not here to talk you out of that experience, just like I wouldn't do with somebody who was saved already. But I think it'd be great if you just heard Scott just share. Tell us about when you were first baptized.
I was around 8 years old. I was baptized in the river by my uncle. My uncle was a pastor at the church that we attended at the time. It was really small. And I remember it. I don't remember the commitment of it. I don't remember the true experience of why I did it exactly. And so that's just kind of led me where, you know, we are now. But you know, I have a Bible with the date on it and everything for when it happened. And so it was in the river out in Riven Rock out there in Hinton, Virginia. And me and my brother were baptized the same day. So,
was the water cold?
I'm sure it probably was. Not like this.
So I had a conversation with Scott, and we just thought it'd be good for you to hear his. It's not everybody's story, but it might reflect you. Scott, at some point later, you felt prompted to get baptized again. This happened when you were 8. It doesn't mean, well, the baptism didn't take. Sure. But I'd like you to just share with us. You felt prompted to get baptized again. Take us through that faith journey and what happened.
I went through a rough patch in life and kind of came back to a point in my faith where I felt like that recommitment was not just important but necessary. And they were offering it here, and it was outside right out there in the front parking lot, and it was just a huge event. And came and had it done, and the shirt I remember, I still have it, says New Life. And the whole intended purpose was to just acknowledge it myself at the age in 2018 when it happened, that I remember fully that baptism experience and that commitment, and I wanted to remember that experience completely and have my son see me publicly commit myself, you know, when I came out of that water. So
how old was your son?
Let's see, I'm 40 now, so roughly six, because he just turned 12, so if I'm doing my math right in my head there. So he was about 6 years old, and he was standing right there watching the whole thing. I'll never forget, I came right out of the water, and it's the first person I saw.
Wow.
Never forget it.
I'll bet you he's not going to forget it.
No, and he got baptized, I think, last year, right there, and his stepmom, Pastor Julie, that we just celebrated and continue to celebrate, of course, she was able to do that and be a part of that, and it was just an awesome experience. So,
one further question for you, and then I'll let you go back to sitting down, because you like to get behind the drum set, not necessarily get up here and speak.
That's right.
What would you say to the person who's sitting here today, and they might be considering baptism for the first or second time? What would you say to them about the importance of this step in your faith journey, and maybe even theirs?
If you haven't been baptized yet, I encourage it whether today or 5 weeks from now or whenever that may be, because that experience coming out of that water is just refreshing. I don't know how else to explain it. You come out just having this feeling that there was a slate with all these things written that you may have done that just become erased. It's a completely new life. It's a beginning all over again. And if you've already been baptized, whether you remember or don't remember, and if you're positioned like I was, I just felt like I wanted to recommit myself and re-energize myself in my faith. And so it meant everything to me to be able to do it again on my own account, on my own decision, and in the way that I felt was important at the church that I grew to know and love.
Wow. You renewed your vows is basically what
Absolutely.
You're saying. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Thanks, Scott, for being
yes.
here. Thanks, man. The next portion, aside from some scripture, I want to just share with you some stories. Are you listening? Are you still with me? Listen to this story. A few weeks ago at our East Rock campus, they were scheduled for baptism. It was supposed to be at an outdoor in the river event. If you're new here today, we have another campus that meets at East Rockingham. We have a pastor, Pastor Jared Link. So they were scheduled. Well, leading up to that, there was a lot of rain, previous to no rain. So it wasn't like the rain took, the river rose, it got really muddy. So they couldn't do baptism that day. But there was one lady there who said, I still want to do it on the day that we had it scheduled. This is her picture. This is Mary Liz. Mary Liz is well known in the area of Elkton. She's been a dance teacher for a long time. She's beloved by a lot of people. So she was the one on the day that it was scheduled that said, look, I get it. The river's too muddy. We're going to reschedule this, but I still want to get baptized. I want to show you three pictures. I had to share this with you because it excited me. And I've not met Mary Liz yet. Look at this next picture. This is a picture of Mary Liz, and she's getting ready to be baptized. That's Pastor Terry standing on her right, and you can tell there's a little excitement in Mary Liz, right? She's ready. She said, no, I get it. We can't do it in the river. We can't do it on that day, but I'd like to still do it. And she is sitting. It looks like she can barely sit. She's so excited. And then look at the last picture here. When Pastor Jared showed me this, I said, Jared, would you ask her for the permission that I could share this? Because this lady is like aglow. She's so excited about this moment. And it's a bottle of water being poured over her head. Isn't it beautiful? What's happening inside of her, she can't contain it. It has to come out. That's awesome. That's praiseworthy. Not because of her, but because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in a person's life. Wow, so beautiful. When should you get baptized? When you get saved? Should you take a class? You could, you don't need to. Should you join the church? You should, you don't need to. Should you enroll in life group? Yes, you should. They start next week. I'm all for life groups. Do I have to be in one? Should I wait 3 years? You don't have to do any of that. Do I have to theologically be able to explain this better than Pastor Billy? No, you don't. You have to be saved, and then you have to have your heart moved to say, why would I wait? Why have I put this off? Why wouldn't I just go public with this and say, Jesus, I'm yours, and I want to go death to life just like what you did and demonstrated. I want in on that. Listen to the scripture, 1 Peter, looking back now. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. He's reflecting all the way back to Noah. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. There is a mystery about water in Scripture. There is a beauty time and time again in Scripture where people move from death to life out of the water. It is not the water that saves you, but there's a beautiful picture going all the way back to the Old Testament. And we're going to study one in a few weeks that happens in Joshua. There's just this beautiful idea of water. To those who were disobedient long ago, 8 in all were saved through water. Verse 21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. It's this beautiful picture of what happens in water. Just last week, we had a teen from this campus who'd been waiting for almost a year to go public. You might not have been there, but I got a picture for you. Here it is. This right here is Eli Cole. Angela Cole is his mom. She's on staff with us here. She used to run Kids Harbor. Now I've asked her to be my right hand and help me try to get some things accomplished here. Really, she's trying to keep me straight. Here's Pastor Chris in the river last week, last Saturday, with just some family and friends around. I don't know if that water's any holier than what's over here, but here's a great picture of a young man who wanted to celebrate getting baptized. You can go to the next picture. I want to talk to you about one final story here. If you are over the age of 40, you probably know the name Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel, I heard the story back in the spring, had lived most of his life as a daredevil. He would jump lots of things. And in his late 70s, he meets Jesus. Evel Knievel spent all of his time, and he said, I lived better than kings, I lived better than presidents, I had all the money anybody would ever want, I've been in multiple relationships, but I was addicted to alcohol, I was addicted to drugs, my life was broken even though I had all this stuff. He's in a hotel room in Clearwater Beach, Florida one night, and he meets Jesus. He had been watching this preacher from California. Not just that night, but he'd been watching for a period of time. And this preacher was starting to get to him. And he finally meets Jesus in a hotel room all by himself. He decides the next day, I'm going to try and contact this preacher. He reaches out to the preacher in California and he says, this is who I am. They didn't believe him at first. This is who I am, and I'd like to speak to this preacher. He said, I don't even know if this preacher would even know who I am. You can go to the next picture. The preacher does know who he is, and he says, can I come and meet with you? He said, what do you mean? He said, I want to come and sit in front of you in person, and I want to listen to you speak to me face to face, and I want to hear your story again. I don't want to just hear it through a telephone. I want to read your body language. He wasn't necessarily trying to vet him out, but he wanted to get face to face with Evel Knievel. So he flies from California to Florida. This just blows Evel Knievel away. He's like, what in the world? This guy's coming all the way across the country? And he basically tells him that. After he sits with him, he says, I want you to come to my church, and I want you to share with my church your story of how Jesus has been working on you. And one night in a hotel room in Clearwater Beach, Florida, Jesus got a hold of your life. And he said, okay, if I do it, I'll come. But listen to me. If I come, I want you to baptize me. So he does. He goes to the church in California, he shares his story, and the preacher baptizes him in front of the congregation, and on that day, 200 people decided to get baptized. And they said for the next 4 weeks, they did baptisms, and over 1,000 people came to get baptized. Why? Because Jesus showed up in this wild man's life in a hotel room in Florida one night, and he just couldn't contain it. And he then is given the opportunity to share his story. And it just impacts so many people. Do you know that a person's baptism could unleash the baptisms of others? I'm not trying to put pressure on people, but I have thought about that. I've thought about the number of times that an individual would walk to an altar and it would just free up the room to say, well, maybe I should go to an altar and pray. Maybe I should go to a baptism and get baptized. Maybe I should get anointed because of what's happening in the room, that they see someone else have the permission to do this. Over 1,000 people are baptized because Evel Knievel said yes. Just this past spring, in Southern California, there was a mass baptism. I mean, an incredible baptism. Before I get to that, though, I want to read you these couple scriptures. Listen, this is Acts chapter 2. When the people heard this, they were there, cut to the heart. And Peter said to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent. That's what we should do. Repent and be baptized. Some of you. Repent and be baptized when you feel good about it. Repent and be baptized after you take the class. Everybody still with me? Y'all are reading this, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, I love this, and your children. Scott just testified to that. And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000. 3,000 were added to their number that day. You think 3,000 is great? Watch this.
We declare this name to Jesus Christ. Mountains make history by joining the Baptized California movement at beaches and churches across the state. Day one was a mighty move of God, read a post on the group's Facebook page. Another post added, today was powerful. More than 6,000 entered the Pacific in Huntington Beach, with the additional 6,000 people immersed in churches across the Golden State. Pastor Mark Francy, the visionary behind the monumental event, spoke of even Satanists joining in.
It was a special weekend. We did see a lot of people, so many cool stories. They're flooding in from Satanists that, you know, came to the beach, that got radically encountered by the love of God, ended up getting baptized spontaneously. So one young couple, you know, one couple literally proposing. The guy gets baptized, comes out of the water, has a ring in his pocket, proposes to his wife on the beach.
Francy helped entire families who made their way to the water.
I baptized one family that probably had 17 people between kids, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, everyone getting baptized, crying, hugging. I mean, it felt like a Book of Acts page.
Churches from various denominational backgrounds also played a role.
It's not about one denomination. It's an interdenominational effort. It's a really a great commission mandate that's allowing everybody enough room in our doctrine to go, look, we might not see eye to eye on every single tenet of our faith, but we all do agree that Jesus told us to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing.
The baptisms come on the heels of a move of God happening in other parts of the country, as Florida beaches, the Texas Gulf, and rivers in the Midwest have become epicenters for mass baptisms. Now, with the success of Baptize California, Francy is already raising the bar for 2025 with an event called Baptize America.
We'll have two expressions. We'll have Sunday morning on Pentecost Sunday, June 8th, that all the local churches will open up their facilities right after your last service in the morning time that everyone baptizes in local churches. And then that evening, we'll do regional events all over America. But we already have, I mean, we have some denominations, some non-denominational networks with thousands of churches saying, we want to plug this in and encourage everybody in our movement to be a part of this.
Charlene Aaron, CBN News.
Now, we started this service by talking about how broken our world is. He's talking about baptize America. Wow. That will be amazing. It's already happening. 12,000 people in Southern California on one day were baptized. I think we could celebrate that. That's amazing. Yeah. We're going to sing in just a second here, but maybe you're sitting here today, and not necessarily my words, but the Holy Spirit has said to you, why wouldn't today be your day? We're going to give you an opportunity. No one has pre-signed up in this service. That's happened in the next service. But maybe today, while we sing, you would want to get baptized. You can go in the tank. We have clothes. We have towels. Or you could say, I just want to sit in the chair and have somebody pour it over me. I'd love today to get baptized for the first or second time. We want to celebrate that with you. If that's not you today, that's fine. Maybe it's in the next service and you say, I was in the first service and I think I should do it in the second service. However you want to do it, we've carved out a little bit of space here where we're going to praise and worship. But if that's you today, you should come right to this cross and Pastor Olivia and Pastor Billy will get you ready and we'll baptize you at the end of the song. If not, we'll continue in worship and we'll leave here in celebration. But we can't have a day like today and not offer anybody in this room a chance to get baptized or rebaptized if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Stand with me. Jesus begins his public ministry with a baptism. In Matthew 28, he comes back post-resurrection and says, hey, you know what you should do? You should go baptize people, all nations, all people, and make disciples. That's what this is about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, we came to celebrate what you've given us. Death to life. Death to life. And this baptism is just a symbolism of that celebration. If you're speaking right now, Lord, to anybody who maybe for the first time or maybe needs to just renew their vows, Lord, you speak loud and crystal clear. and we will celebrate with them the new life you offer. You are worthy, Lord, of this. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.